Welcome to Farewell, Mr. Nice Guy, and I'm your host, MNG. And today I'm going to talk about something that is probably plaguing a lot of parents in today's time. And that is, what the hell is our kids going to do with their future? Are they going to go to college? Are they going to go to trade school? Are they going to start their own business? Are they going to work for the rest of their lives? Now, I have to admit, times are not how they used to be. So you just can't go into the workforce and think that you're going to make a decent living. Now, we all know that it doesn't work that way. It was a little difficult in my time coming up and trying to decide whether I want to chase money or do I want to chase a degree, and which one was a little bit more suited to my future at the time, because I was uncertain on where I wanted to go, what did I want to do, and no one was telling me to go to college. Nobody was backing me to go to college. So when it came to my graduation and graduating from high school, there was no, hey, go to college. Like, the only people that were really talking about college was the school teachers, the counselors, and all that stuff. So I just want to share some of the ideas that I have when it comes to moving forward and having that conversation with your kids, because we need to have all the options on the table before their senior year. That's the big part right there. You want to have all the options on the table before senior year. And even now, I continue to have a conversation. My son is a senior now, and I continue to have a conversation over and over and over again with him about what he should be doing, whether he's applying for scholarships, whether he's doing research, whether he's assessing every option that he has on the table before we actually start going forward and applying and everything, right? Now, we all know that in your 11th grade year that you're supposed to start doing your scholarships and kind of start scoping out what the schools are looking like and going to college fairs and everything. So I'm kind of going to detail some of the things that we have talked about, and I'm kind of going to go through my ideas of all these different aspects that he has on the table. So the first thing that's up is the typical usual. Let's start with that career field is going in, because if it's not growing and it's decreasing, that means that it's not going to be valuable in the future. For example, we know that people that work on the line at the automotive factories, their time is limited. It's not going to be too many of them working on the line, and that is a prime example of a area that is decreasing. If you look at food service, waitresses and everything, in the future, those positions are going to be decreasing as well. So those not going to be a lot of them working in that service industry. Also, and we already know the service industry is shrinking. So it's decreasing as time goes on. So we want to make sure that we're looking at a career field where the job growth is going up. It can go up 2%. It can go up 3%. It don't have to go up like 10% every year. It can go up 2% every year. As long as it's increasing, that is what we're looking at. Because if you go into a career field where the job market for that particular industry is, or that particular field is going down, what happens is just by the time that you get out of college, if it's going down 2% every year, but it's going to take you 5 years to actually get into that field. So by that time, the market for that probably went down 10%. And if it haven't went down 10%, it probably would have went down on the estimate probably 5 to 8%. It's probably decreasing that job market. So that means that it's not even viable. So it's going to be harder to get into that field because there's not going to be any room or anybody working in that field long enough. So once everybody pretty much retire out of that field, it's going to be gone, right? So there's some of the things that we want to look at when we're talking about, okay, what job we want to go into. And then we start looking at colleges and scholarships, and we kind of go forth from there. So you have your four-year colleges, you have your two-year colleges. You know, some states are offering free, well, some colleges are offering free tuition if you live in a state or you went to a school for a high school for 4 years in the inner city. So they're offering those type of scholarships, free rides going all the way through, which is great. But that all depends on whether or not that student is going to be, or that child is going to be dedicated to going to school. Now, my son stated that he wants to go to a school within state, which is fine. I'm 100% for that. I do want him to live on campus so he can get that campus life, get that independent feeling, you know, by being on campus. And he may not like it, but I think it would be good to just have that I'm on my own type of feeling. You know, I mean, we could save money, but if you get a free ride, what difference would it make, right? Also, my son has been in ROTC for the last 3 years, and he has moved up the ranks. Now, we did go to a Black College Fair that was being hosted at one of the schools in city. So we went down there and we talked to a few colleges that he was interested in. And then we talked to another college. We talked to a recruiter. Recruiter basically told us, and this is the information that we received, and we're still trying to verify it. Basically, the information that we received is that if he end up signing up for ROTC in college, you know, he'll get so many X amount of dollars per semester. And if he signed up for additional activities, such as rifle guard, color team, anything like that, then he'll get a few more X amount of dollars per semester. Now, not knowing anybody's background, anybody's history, to me, that sounds like a good deal. If you can go to college and get a four-year ride, if you can go be in ROTC and get money to go to school, and you don't have to commit for the first 2 years of being in ROTC, I think that's great. You getting a free ride, you have money in your pocket. It's the best of both worlds. Now, I'm not saying he should go to the military. At the same time, if he goes to the intelligence side of the military, because the way it's always advertised to us is, if you go to the military, you go, you fight on the front lines, and you fight for your country. Okay, that's that part. The other part of it is that you can go on the other side of the military, which is the intelligence side, and possibly may not even see war. It's a possibility. I'm not saying that it's guaranteed. I'm just saying it's a possibility because there's an intelligence side. You know, when you look at NCIS and you see them people working in-house, or you see some of them TV shows where you see that they in bunkers and all that shit like that, you have the intelligence side of it. We see it on TV and we think like, oh, that shit ain't real. But there is an intelligence side of it where they actually work in offices. They pretty much don't really go to war unless needed to, right? That's one option that we have on the table. So you have the two-year college and you have the four-year college. So that's one opportunity that's right there, because you can go to two-year college, which is a community college, and then you can kind of graduate out of there with your associate degree. Then you can transfer those credits over to a four-year college, and then you can finish out over there. But the scholarships really do help, so you don't have to take loans out, because I'm trying to get him to go to school and not be in debt, because I graduated with debt. And it's extremely hard because I didn't go into my career field for 6 years. In all honesty, the pandemic, as devastating as it was, it changed the format for me. And I was able to go into my career field, and then I was able to excel from there, which was a pretty much of a great deal, even though it was devastating. But it did change the format of how people interview, how people hire, and what exactly they were looking for, because they were looking for bodies to put in places. And they was like, okay, well, we'll train people coming in, and then we will pay astronomical dollars just to get people to come through the door because we can't get them to come through any other way. That's how you know these corporations got money to give, but they don't want to give it. They want to hoard it. You know, it's corporate greed is what they call it. So then we have trade school. So then you have your HVAC, carpentry, you have electrician, and you have all those other activities that, well, other careers that you could do without having a degree, okay? Like your beauticians and everything, which is all great fields, okay? Now, these are manual labor or manually intensive labor that you're doing because, again, it is a service industry. Now, you can make a lot of money doing this, and there's nothing wrong with all the money that's being made there. Now, my son expressed that he wants to go into HVAC. I am 100% supportive of whatever decision he makes. My argument with that would be, is that, okay, have you done the research? What places have you looked into? Have you talked to anybody? So a lot of that stuff is important because if he goes into the world and his expectations are of other people's expectations, meaning that he's going off of what somebody else is saying, he's not really going to understand that when he gets into that same lane or that same path as them, that his path is going to be different than theirs. His accessibility to that they have is not going to be his the same accessibility. So I'm trying to get him to understand that you can go into a trade, but understand that even if you win and you own your own business, that would be cool. But it's not what you think it is. Like, it's manual labor. If you are working on a building or you're working in a house, you know, sometimes you could be subject to the elements. So there's a lot to it, going in and out of people's houses or, you know, working on skyscrapers, buildings, however the case is. Whatever job industry that he's going to be in where he's going to be doing HVAC, whether he does it as an internship or how the case is, if he does decide to do that, I'd rather him to go to the four-year college first, try that out, see if he likes it. And then if he doesn't like it, okay, then go to HVAC. I'd rather him do it like that than go to HVAC. Oh, well, I got to work outside. No, I don't like that. And then have to go and just say, well, I'm going to try to go to a four-year college and miss out on the opportunity because maybe he forfeited his time or maybe he forfeited his opportunity. So that's two, okay? So we got the two-year college, four-year college. We have trade school, okay? So let's jump over to owning your own business. So if he could have cultivated owning his own business, say like ninth grade, and I agree 100% that you should learn to be an entrepreneur, just have the mindset of entrepreneur, especially at a young age. So you start off cutting grass, or you started off doing landscaping, or you start off like shoveling snow, or you drew pictures and sold some of those pictures, or you had a YouTube channel. I think that's worth cultivating while you are underage and don't have a job. And then if it becomes profitable, then you can go ahead and start cycling it up so you can start making more money off of it. That's kind of what we was kind of going to. You know, we had a little line service, and I realized he didn't like manual labor. That's why when he said HVAC, I was kind of like, oh, okay, that's that's interesting. So Then we had started up a few other initiatives. Like we had started a YouTube channel, we started a Twitch channel, and everything was trying to get that to scale up and, you know, invest time in that. And we talked about, you know, advertising. So I told him like, hey, you know, you're real good at math and you got people that want you to help them with their math. You know, you can always go and you could charge people to tutor them. You could charge them like $10-$15 for a half an hour and $25 for a full hour, and then, you know, maximum 2 hours. I don't like to think about how much money you could have at the end of the week. And he was like, oh no, I don't, you know, what made you think they're gonna pay me? I mean, they already asking you for your help. Why wouldn't they pay you? That was my thing. I said you could do it 2 hours after school. Then, if you did it for like 4 hours on the weekend, you're going to have almost like $200. But you didn't want to do that. Like, I was trying to give him some entrepreneurial, you know, mindsets. And I'm like, you know, you could do this. Woo-woo-woo. But that was something he wanted to do. So that's another thing I like to say, like, try to cultivate a business while they're younger to kind of get their mind geared into entrepreneurship. Because let's be honest, nobody really wants to work for anybody. But if you can get them to start a business while they're younger, and you can help put the time in and the advertisement in there, and it starts to get bigger and bigger, I wouldn't mind if he built a business and then started to scale that business up after high school. And it's like, okay, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm passionate about. You know, I like to be my own owner. And then we can just work together, go ahead and scale that up in my spare time. So that's another one. Man, operate your own business. Now, if they didn't do ROTC in high school or anything, and they just want to go to the military, and they think that would be better for them so far as the long run, I don't have an issue with that either. If he decides to do that, but he already in ROTC, so he'll keep his rank. Even if he did go to the military, he'll still keep his rank and how the case is going forward. But for all those kids out there that do want to go to the military, that do want to make something out of themselves, my thing with that is do your research first. Find out what branch you want to go into, and that's going to be the most appealing to you. Don't go in there just taking tests after tests after tests after tests, because they make you take a test when you apply for the military so they can figure out where they're going to put you at. They're going to try to figure out what your aptitude is. Because I went in for recruiting because I thought I'd be able to assist my son a little bit better if I went into the reserves. But then they told me I had to be away for like 8 weeks. And I couldn't spend that time away from my son. I couldn't spend 8 weeks away from my son. It just was impossible. All he had was me. So it didn't work out the way I wanted it to for everybody else. If that is an option, I would say go ahead and take it. It's not really about trying to go and fight for the war or fight for America or anything like that. It could put you in a better position. Now, I know a lot of people say, oh, well, the military breaks you down and then it builds you back up. It does. And this is why I say that. But I spent time running around, chasing girls, drinking, smoking, having a good time. Not smoking weed, like cigars, Black and Miles, all that stuff. Having a good time, going and hanging with my cousins, running the streets, hanging with my friends. I did all of that. I found myself in more trouble than I needed to be in. And I wish I would have had somebody that was on my head, like, you out here running these streets, but you ain't really doing nothing. You working two jobs, you breaking your back. Eventually, you gonna end up with a kid. And that's what happened. I ended up with a kid at 21. I don't regret what happened, but at the same time, I don't want what happened to me to happen to him, because it's generational at this point. My dad had me at 21. I had my son at 21. I'm trying to prevent that. I don't want him to have a kid at 21. I actually want him to excel and go further than I did, and to come out debt free while doing it. That way, when he's ready to have a kid, he doesn't have mounting debt that he has to kind of claw his way out of in order to be able to take care of his family. I don't want him to jump in, knock down a whole bunch of women, and then, I mean, he could knock down a whole bunch of women, I don't have a problem with that, but I want him to be out there knocking down a whole bunch of women and then fuck around and get the wrong one pregnant. I'll say that. Because then he gets the wrong one pregnant. You know, he got a baby mama or his kid's parent. They on bad terms. She wouldn't put him on child support. And then he got a struggle. And nobody should have to go through that. And I know there are people that's going through that. And I talk to y'all on a different track. But I'm talking to any parent that is listening to this to have that conversation with their kid. Like, listen, I want the best for you. Here are your options. I don't agree with some of these options, but at least you get them four or five options that's on the table. And you gotta have this conversation with them like sixth, seventh, eighth grade. And you gotta continue to keep having this conversation so it is on their mind as much as possible so they can keep on thinking about it and thinking about it. You gotta keep having that conversation. What do you think about doing with yourself? Like, here's your options. This is option one. You can do this, and this is what this will lead to. Here go option two. This is what this is. This is what this will lead to. Option three. This is what this do. This is what this is going to lead to. Option four. This is what this is. This is what this is going to lead to. You got to be able to put their options in front of them. You got to think about it from all angles. Look at where you were at and where you're going and how long it took you to get there. You know, I gave him a prime example of me and my best friend. It took me so many years to get my degree and to make a decent amount that amounted to me being able to take care of him, get a house, XYZ. Where my best friend went to college, got into his career field, was making a decent amount, and it took him less time to make, for us to make the same amount of money. It took me longer to make the same amount of money that he's making right now. So we got to the same goal, but I took longer to get there. His was a lot shorter than mine. So while I'm always consistently playing catch up, you know, he kind of just stayed where he was at and eventually got there. I had to change a few jobs to get there, but you know, he got there just by staying at one job or out of cases, but it would have just kind of jumped around. He'd probably be making a hell of a lot more. But I use those as examples to my son to say, hey, if you try to go out into the world and work and then try to double back to go to school, it's going to take you longer to get to where you want to be financially. If you go to school, walk out debt free, it's going to take you probably a shorter amount of time. It's not always guaranteed, but it could take you a short amount of time to go ahead and get there to make the income, the money that you want to make and find state and financial stability. So I definitely encourage everybody to go ahead and talk to your kids, talk to your teenagers, your adolescents, talk to them about this topic. Tell them they have options. College is not the only option. They have a lot of options. Find out what their talents is or what they want to chase and jump right on them and jump right into it. But I'm going to leave you with that. I am your host, MNG. Go ahead, send us a voice link. I'd love to hear your thoughts and opinions about this episode. Also, you can send us an email over at farewellmrniceguy@gmail.com. Go ahead, send us an email if you want us to talk about a topic, you want us to talk about whatever. I'm here. I'll talk about it. You need some advice? I'm about that too. Go ahead and follow our Instagram at farewellmng. Now, we post a lot of stuff on there so far as the next episode that's coming up, and we do a few lives every now and then. So go ahead, check us out. I'll catch you on the next episode. Peace.
Thanks for joining us on this unfiltered journey with Farewell Mr. Nice Guy. We hope today's conversation brought you fresh insights and a renewed embrace of authenticity. To keep the canon vibes flowing, hit the subscribe button for more thought-provoking episodes and share the podcast with your friends. As we wrap up, keep embracing your true self, navigating life's twists and making connections truly count. Until next time, remember that your journey to authenticity and growth is one to cherish.